What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, May 25th, 2018. I'm struggling because I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller. This is the busiest lady in the business, Andrea Renee.
What's good, Greg?
Well, it's National Wine Day. Called that out here. Cheers to that.
Cheers.
You get to live your dream of drinking wine on this show.
I asked Greg if I could channel my dream of becoming Kathy Lee and Hoda on the Today Show, and if we could drink wine while we do the show just like they do on the Today Show every day. And he said yes, because it's National Wine Day.
My birthday, April 27th.
Yes.
My mother's birthday, March 27th. I look at this 25th of May, and it feels like, and my dad's birthday, May 21st. I feel like something's coming up, or I'm forgetting something.
Didn't you just say your dad's birthday was April 27th?
No, that's my your birthday. Was April 27th. Yeah.
My dad's birthday is April 27th.
Really?
You and my dad have the same birthday.
Oh, we should do a double party next year.
He would love that.
Okay, cool. Yeah, but I don't think I'm missing anything. I just feel like I'm missing something. I feel like I'm getting close to missing something.
Okay.
Because these dates usually, you know, in the 20s, the high 20s.
Good news. The months are almost over.
Oh, thank God. E3's almost here.
And then we're into the Jays.
Yeah. Oh, the Jays. Everyone's favorite. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show at kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give us your questions, comments, bad PSN names, and more. Everything under the video game sun. Then watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening later on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. E3 2018 is right around the corner. Remember, Kinda Funny will be doing our usual E3 bonanza coverage. Every conference except the PC one. Pre-shows, post-shows, live reactions during where we talk over. If you want to watch, you can watch it all live. twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch along with us. See what happens. If you tune out for, you want to go to the watch the press conferences without us talking over them, no big deal. Come back for the Gamescast post show. If you can't catch any of it live, Gamescast post shows and reactions will go live on Twitch. Or YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe. Andrea, you'll be there too. You can't announce what you're doing.
At E3?
Yeah.
I can announce part of what I'm doing.
Okay, lay it on me.
It was announced that I am back hosting with Facebook for their live studio for their Raise the Game activation. Yeah, it's very exciting. They're doing a lot of cool stuff at E3 this year. VentureBeat did a nice write-up of it. So I will be hosting at facebook.com, and I'll send out the links and everything. But yes, both Steimer and Britt will be hosting with me. We'll have some special guests, which will be fun. I believe the Reverend is going to stop by.
The Reverend Jared Petty.
Yeah, he's doing some cool stuff at E3.
We're all doing cool stuff at E3. We're doing our usual stuff. Tuesday we'll fly down. Wednesday we'll see games. We'll be putting up the reactions content there. Then Thursday we're going to do something, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, that we always do, and it will be live and you can watch it there. But I can't talk about that yet. I can tell you, however, last night we went and saw Solo. That review is up on kindoffunny.com. Along inside of that review, we announced the next in-review series. You all loved MCU in review so much. We announced a new one that'll start next week. So if you want to watch movies along with us, that's happening again. And today, Kinda Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Brooklyn and MeUndies. But I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Three stories on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
First one, incredibly sad. Total Biscuit has passed away. I'm going to read the gamesindustry.biz story by Hayden Taylor. Game critic and YouTuber John Bain, known more commonly as Total Biscuit and the Cynical Brit, has died at age 33. The news was announced yesterday via Twitter through his official account and the account of his wife, Jenna Bain. In 2014, Bain revealed that he had been diagnosed with cancer and was receiving chemotherapy. Just a year later, he announced the illness was terminal. He retired from games criticism earlier this year, but continued to work on the co-optional podcast and his popular YouTube channel throughout his illness. Also a professional esports shoutcaster for games like StarCraft II, Bain launched his career over a decade ago after losing his job at a financial advisory firm. Of course, devastating.
Indeed. I tweeted yesterday that, you know, I had the privilege of working with him on more than one occasion, and he was always a consummate professional, super dedicated and passionate. And I wanted to also highlight something else that was started by one of his fans to help support his wife, Jenna, and they have a GoFundMe set up. And so the message there says, Many of you know the incredible Total Biscuit, aka John Bain. Many of you also know that he's been publicly fighting cancer for the last 4 years and recently passed from that fight. John has had an incredible games media career that spans at least 13 years. During that time, he's covered countless gaming, including World of Warcraft and StarCraft II, and it would be pretty hard to make a full list of games he supported. He was a journalist, entertainer, critic, philanthropist, and generally good dude. He was one of the best. In this career, there are no medical plans, no retirement funds, and no golden parachutes. The financial resources available are limited to the support of viewers and advertisers. John's family, Jenna and Orion, are faced with short and long-term challenges around housing, living expenses, income security, medical care, and the special needs of their son, Orion. Please join me in supporting Jenna and Ryan in this very trying time to help take one burden off of their shoulders. Note, I have personally talked to Jenna and she knows and is very appreciative of anyone showing their support and is the only person who can withdraw from this GoFundMe. Note to streamers, if you're looking to support the family, you can use this campaign if you want to raise money and have it go directly to them. So if you are interested in supporting his family, if you liked the work that he put out into the universe, that is at GoFundMe.com/TotalBiscuit, and you can get all of the details there.
And I think one of the things I want to point out on the subreddit for Kind of Funny, if this got posted in parentheses, it was like not really to do with Kind of Funny. I think it's worth pointing out that we never made a big deal about it, and he never made a big deal about it, but Total Biscuit was totally a best friend. Where, I mean, like, before I left IGN, he had invited me on the show, and that's where I first met him and did stuff with him there and did stuff afterwards. But when we started Kind of Funny, he was always a Twitch subscriber. I've read his name so many times in there, and to see him in the chat and to see him promoting stuff we had done on Twitter or just talking to me on Twitter and stuff, like, he was very much part of this community. It just isn't one of those that we ever... neither of us ever beat our chest to make a big deal about calling it out, because so many, you know, people in the industry are as well. I just wanted to make sure that people understood that, like, it was a very personal thing, I think, for our community, even if you didn't know it was. So obviously, yeah, if you can help, please go help. And of course, you know, rest in peace, John. Number two. Xbox is saying that State of Decay 2 is a huge success. Here's their official line. As we close out our first week of the zombie apocalypse, we wanted to welcome and say thank you to over 1 million fans playing State of Decay 2, helping break the million player mark and answering the question, how will you survive? Since early access for the Ultimate Edition on May 18th and the global release of the Standard Edition on May 22nd, we've had over a million survivors across the globe playing and creating their own zombie survival story. Throughout launch, there have been over 6 million combined hours of State of Decay 2 gameplay, and we've watched nearly 3.5 million hours of gameplay across Mixer, Twitch, and YouTube Gaming from over 41,000 unique broadcasts. That's a good number to get.
Yeah, absolutely. And I reached out to Xbox PR to clarify what the record they broke was, because if you look at the Xbox Wire article written by Aaron Greenberg over there.
Friend of the show.
Yes. I'm very excited to see him and catch up with him at E3. He says that it was it broke a record,
okay.
And it wasn't clear exactly which record it broke. So I reached out to them for clarification and still don't have an answer yet.
I mean, honestly, I think it's, they probably broke the State of Decay 2 record, which was zero up until this.
I think what it might have been was over a million. I think Sea of Thieves might have set the previous.
I see.
And it was 1 million.
Okay.
And now
okay.
It's over a million.
Sure.
But I'm just hypothesizing here. I don't know, which is why I reached out for clarification.
It's a great win for a great studio. I love Undead Labs. I love State of Decay 1. We've talked about State of Decay 2 in passing here. You and I did the thing about it. I've talked about it, I know, on yesterday's Gamescast of. I don't feel super enthused. Like, I need to go back to State of Decay 2, but I'm going to. I know it's hard to talk about games and be like, oh yeah, I'll get to when I get to it, but it's just more State of Decay 1, which I loved. So mm-hmm. I'm glad that it's found a bigger audience here, or seemingly will find a bigger audience here, with Xbox being behind it, with it being in game preview, with it being one of the big exclusives they have.
I mean, I'm having fun with it. I obviously came down really hard on the fact that I think that they should fix all of the bugs that are in the glitches that are in the game, because for me they are prevalent. And I got into it with some people in the comments on that episode of Games Daily, because they were like, I haven't had any problems. I go, but that's the thing with games. If you're not experiencing the bugs I'm experiencing, right, or if I'm not experiencing what you get to see or have to deal with, then you can't relate to why I'm frustrated. And it doesn't mean that I think the game is bad or terrible. I don't think so that at all. I'm having fun.
Yeah.
I just would have more fun, and I would have a better opinion if it wasn't so broken as it is right now.
Well, that's just always the tough thing about putting out an opinion period about a video game,
yeah,
or anything, but mainly video games, because they are such a personal experience of, mm-hmm, yeah, I I know when I talk to somebody and they have a problem with a game I love, the knee-jerk reaction is like, well, I didn't see that, and that's why, you know, and you feel like you're defending, but really you're just like, ah, it sucks because it's so good, and you want people to understand why you love it the way you love it.
Exactly.
Video games. Number three, we've been dancing around this. I don't think we've ever specifically said it, so I wanted all of you to update your chalkboards and whiteboards at home. God of War total sales have been clarified and announced, I guess. Shabana Arif over at IGN says, Sony boss John Codera has revealed that God of War sold over 5 million copies in its first month. The news comes from Sony Investor Relations Day 2018, in which Codera announced the number of copies had sold exceeded 5 million in the month following God of War's launch. I think it was originally, this is the third story kind of about this, where the first one was, it did gangbuster numbers and made, you know, video games 44% better year over year or some shit like that, but we didn't have the number, and then yesterday we talked about digital sales saying it sold 2 million, I don't think we've ever clarified, so there you go. More than 5 million God of Wars out there right now. Boy. And well deserved.
Congrats. Game is amazing. Still goatee.
I'm glad that this must have been the number they hit so that Corey Barlog could be reunited with his family. Because I've seen the tweets that Corey's wife and child were coming back. I'm like, oh, good. The Shuhei was finally like, all right, 5 million units. Send the Barlogs home to their husband. And believe it or not, that's it, Andrea. We're speeding through it.
Yeah, it is.
You know what I mean?
It is a short day for news.
You know, I love God of War, and I'm excited for the next God of War, whenever that may come. Maybe it'll be on PlayStation 5, probably will be. But it's so far away. Andrea, if I wanted to know what came to the mom and grop shops today, where would I go?
You would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday.
Out today. Oh, here we go. Adomine, we'll say, on Switch.
That sounds right.
Seven Scarlet on PlayStation Vita, it lives. Dark Souls Remastered on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Detroit Become Human on PlayStation 4. Dungeon Rushers on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch. Ooh, Ascension on Xbox One. Ascension on Xbox One. Pixel Junk Monsters 2 on PlayStation 4 and PC.
Yay, I'm so excited.
Right? Sudden Strike 4, European Battlefields Edition on Xbox One. And then Super Hyperactive Ninja on Xbox One. Before we move on to new dates, I want to call out, of course, Detroit Become Human. Reviewed yesterday on the Kind of Funny Games cast, available right now on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. If you go there at the $5 or $10 level, you get it along with the pre and post show if you go to the $10 level. Or you can wait, and of course it's free, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe on Monday. Full review there. Have you played any more since we talked last?
No.
Okay.
But we did have special guest Kim Wallace on What's Good Games this week. And
big fan of her.
Yeah, she's great, right? Yeah. So you mentioned to Jared that you and Kim talked to Judges Week about it.
Yeah.
She reviewed it for Game Informer. You can read her full review at GameInformer.com. If you want to hear her candid thoughts about the game, talking with Steimer and I, that is at youtube.com/whatsgoodgames or on podcast services. She's great. We also talk about Kingdom Hearts 3 because I needed an expert to come in since Alexa Ray is out. I was like, Kim, like You're the girl.
You're the one. This is what you've been training for your entire life.
So we talk about a lot of stuff. But yeah, I'm excited to jump into it this weekend. Ooh. And we're going to do a spoiler cast on it probably in like a week or probably the week after E3 would be my guess.
Okay.
So you guys got some time to play.
Speaking of all that, let's jump into Detroit Reader Mail. No spoilers. Don't worry. Everybody be chill. First things first, Nick from good old New Zealand writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, Greg and Andrea, how are the trophies in Detroit Become Human? I don't want to spoil the game by looking at the hidden ones, but they're basically all hidden. Just want to know if they're reasonable and won't require 4,875 playthroughs in specific ways. Thanks. Here's what I'll tell you, Nick. I, of course, played through just to play it. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to look at it. I don't want to ruin the game. I think you can look at my PSN profiles. I haven't updated it. I think it's 51, 52, somewhere. 55% of the trophies are there. My plan this weekend is to go in, try to platinum this thing. Because I was looking through the trophy list after the fact, and it seems like lots of them are just decisions I went the opposite way. But, of course, what I'll do is go to youtube.com/PS4trophies, where Brian, the main man, will show me how to do it. But here's the thing. Since I'm doing that this weekend, I didn't have an answer for you on how many playthroughs you'll need and all that jazz. So you know what I did? I reached out to Brian from youtube.com/PS4trophies. And I asked the same question. I just sent him your question. And here's what he says back. First, tell everyone not to look at the spoiler-filled trophy list until after a playthrough. Very heavily spoilers in it. From the beginning, with all the knowledge of trophies beforehand, there is a minimum of 2 playthroughs, plus some chapter select cleanup. Unlike Heavy Rain, no need to get all the endings. Thank God. Of all the Quantic Dream games, this is the most fair trophy list. Worst case scenario, play blind for one playthrough. Then look at a trophy list and get everything else in two additional runs with minimal chapter select cleanup. Also, no hard trophies. The only somewhat confusing one is the collectibles, since the actual magazine collectibles actually change based on the previous decisions made. Locations are always the same, but the magazine itself can alter based on the previous events. Hope that makes sense. It does, and that's where I was like, no! Fuck! Because I was being very good about picking up the magazines. But now having him saying that of like, right, so when I do something in the previous chapter and that's a newsworthy headline, that'll change the thing. So I have to go back and make that decision and play through. And it's like, that's going to be a complicated ball.
That's why I don't do trophies.
But here's the thing is I want to see the alternate takes of Detroit Become Human. Mm-hmm. I just don't want to waste multiple 8-hour playthroughs or whatever going through.
Precisely.
So what I'm going to do today or this weekend, Andrea, is go cherry pick the easy ones because there's some like do this or that.
Sure.
Easy. Checkpoint it. Get it. Great. Then wait because I'll look through Brian's video, see if he has anything up there that is clear.
Okay.
If not, you go to PlayStationTrophies.org. Mm. There on the forums thing, they'll put up the walkthrough and they'll explain here's what you do and how you do it and what you do. So there's a lot of ways for us to do this. New Zealander whose name I can't remember and my pages weren't going backwards. Nick from New Zealand. I'm going to give you two more.
Okay. You want to just skip new dates? What's
Detroit
happening?
Become... No, I mean, this is just a Detroit Become Human rock block on okay. Detroit Day, on Wine Day. Give me a cheers.
Do you like this wine?
The wine I'm drinking right now, the red blend? Oh, it's delicious. Yeah, you never bring bad wine.
Oh, thanks, Greg.
I wish... I was going to say, I wish I knew anything as well as you knew wine, but I would assume...
You know a lot of things.
I was going to say, you're wine... Like, we both know video games, right? So we're checked there. But I would say, like, in terms of hobbies, the way you know wine is maybe how I know comics. Maybe that's something. Because I like.
It's definitely not how you know chicken wings.
That's true. All right. Good one. You brought me back around. Cool, Greg? Yeah. Give Andrea a round of applause.
Aw, she thanks, brings good cool stuff. Greg.
Bruce Wayne wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, Greg and Andrea, longtime listener, first time caller. Instead of tweeting at you, I figured I'd quickly ask here. I'd quickly ask you here, but are you guys going to do a spoiler cast for Detroit Become Human? I really wish you guys would do more of them when fitting, but a game as story-driven as this, I feel like could be somewhat warranted. Keep fucking that chicken. I'll hang up and listen now. Bruce Wayne. So you guys are for sure doing one in the coming weeks, you're saying?
Yes.
Theoretically, after E3.
Somewhere. Right, just because we're not going to have probably enough time to play through it in its entirety and probably go back and check some other stuff out before E3, just being realistic.
Okay, yeah. We were going to kind of do it yesterday because on the Gamescast, we did the review and then Andy was talking about how he had talked to Barrett Courtney from IGN, his roommate, that they had seen different things and then I gave... If you played the game, I gave like signal posts, signposts of what I had done in mine. Andy's like, I didn't do that. And I was like, oh shit, we should talk about it. The review embargo was kind of like, hey, please don't in your review spoil this stuff. So I was like, oh, okay, I'll let it cook and do it sometime in the future. I thought maybe as a Games Daily, bring it on and do that. Maybe as like a heads up there. But if we need a standalone spoiler cast, I need you to let me know. And then I need to check in with Andy. But then we would need more people to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a crossover. This could be our first big crossover.
Ooh.
We both post at the same time. You just come here, sit here. Where are they going? Are the girls going to be here in person? Or are they going to be Skyping?
Probably Skyping.
Okay.
They're not coming back until right before prom.
Okay, June 30th. Come to prom. All right, we'll figure it out. Matt, aka Grim540, writes in with the last Detroit Become Human spoiler-free question to AFGD, all that jazz. Matt says, greetings and salutations, kind of funny crew. With the release of Detroit Become Human out today, I was incredibly eager to spend the morning of the day delving into the story. Playing through the beginnings of Kara and Marcus's storyline, you get to use touchscreen and motion controls far more than most games. Thus, my question is this. Greg, with what you and Andy completing the game, but you've played, so this counts for you too, was Quantic Dream able to take the DualShock and its motion control / touch controls to another level? Or is it pretty much the same old mundane shit? Keep romancing the robot chicken. Thanks, Matt.
I wouldn't say that they're doing anything innovative.
It is totally the mundane shit. Yeah. And it's like, Andy and I talk about this in the Gamescast review of like, I didn't feel like any of it was like Twitch based for the most part, right? There's a few things, but as I was saying in the review, there's nothing like in Heavy Rain of trying to drive into oncoming traffic where it was like, fucking God, you know, screaming at the thing. But most of it's fine. Most of it's button things. It's a few touch screen wipes, usually for those magazines I was talking about. Okay, whatever, that's fine. But then there's this weird one with the controller of jerk it right or jerk it left. And it is so out of place when you're sitting there comfortably, like I'm cuddling Jen and playing, or Andy was talking about just like being down by his coffee table playing. And then all of a sudden this pops up, it's like, oh. And then it only, I feel, they use it so rarely that it just confuses the fact when they then want you to use the stick and go right or left. So, no, it's the same mundane shit, and I think it could have been fine-tuned even a little bit more, but it is better than it has been in previous things. Thank you for going with me on that walk into Detroit. Let's get back to new dates. Madden NFL 19 is coming to PlayStation 4 and Xbox One on August 10th. Terrell Owens is the cover star of the Hall of Fame edition. Nice addition there, Andrea.
No problem.
Metal Slug XX is available May 29th on PlayStation 4. And then The Wolf Among Us Season 2 is launching in 2019. This is a delay from 2018.
That's correct.
You were on top of this. I, meanwhile, was in the bathroom, right? I was getting ready for this show, and I looked at my phone. I was like, oh, crap, I got to do this. You already put it on there. Here's the statement from Telltale. This delay comes as the result of a few fundamental changes here at Telltale since we first announced the game late last summer. Telltale wrote in a blog post, most importantly, we're committed to exploring new ways to tell our stories. Taking this extra time will allow us not only to focus on quality, but also to experiment and iterate in order to craft something truly special. Interesting. This was their big deal, right? When the layoffs happened and they were honing their focus, like, we're going to move off of our crappy engine to, I think they said Unreal, right? Is that right?
I don't know.
Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. To one of the main engines that already existed. And people were very interested in that of, all right, cool. Batman's already, you know, happening. I think it was already coming out at this time. Walking Dead was still announced in the final season. And then Wolf was still announced. I wonder if this delay means that the final season of Walking Dead is for sure running on the old Telltale engine, and this will be the first one off of it.
I don't think they confirmed. It just says they'll be working on an engine improvement.
Okay.
Engine restructuring, but it doesn't say what that means.
Okay.
I would hope that they would move to something like Unreal.
Yeah.
Because that means that they could, you know, hopefully focus on content of the game and not working around with the engine.
Yeah.
Lean on those Epic engineers to help you out.
Yeah, yeah. Because that was the big thing, I think, what Jason Schreier's article about everything that had gone wrong over there of like, hey, here's how screwed up the engine is and what they have to do to make an apple roll off the table and stuff like that. You're like, oh my God. So yeah, we'll see. But Wolf fans, I know a lot of people were concerned it wasn't happening at all anymore. It's still happening. There you go. 2019. Go ahead and hold your breath. Next up is Reader Mail, officially. But first, I'm going to tell you it's officially brought to you by Brooklinen. Andrea! Do you need new sheets?
We've talked about this. Need is a strong word. I am in the market for a new pair of white ones, and I have my eye on the linen ones.
Yeah.
But it's like their top of the line model.
Linen's in their title, brooklinen.com. You gotta get it. And now they got these towels you were showing
really
me last
nice
time.
And it'd be great just in time for summer.
I'm telling you, Brooklinen is the best, most comfortable sheets. There's no big markup. Brooklinen sheets were named the winner of the best online bedding category for good housekeeping. They have versatile colors and patterns, and you can mix and match to complement any decor. Again, I have these sheets. I sleep in them every night, and I need more of them. This is what I keep saying in the ad, right? Is that, hey, guess what? You listener, you viewer, you need new sheets. You don't think you do, but you probably do. At least you just bought them.
We all don't change our sheets enough.
And I definitely should get them.
It's a real thing.
Yeah. And what I really want to do is Jen's got way too many of like the comforter covers. I want to get rid of all
those. There's no such thing as too many comforter covers. You take that back.
A lot of duvets in there. A lot of duvets. We can't even shut the bottom of the bed thing anyway.
Did you know that Brooklinen also does duvet covers?
I'm aware. I have one of them and I like it a lot. That's what I'm saying. Brooklinen.com has an exclusive offer just for you. Go. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code GAMES at brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use the promo code GAMES at brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code GAMES. Brooklinen. These are the best sheets ever. Second sponsor, I shouldn't even have to tell you. It's MeUndies. I have to do this every day now. Actually, I don't have to. I do this for some reason. What color am I wearing today? Today it's these. Oh, it's the Christmas lights. Christmas lights. And this is what I was talking about the other day. You can go there, right? And they have all these cool patterns. MeUndies, of course. Super comfortable. Great fit. Great stretch. All that jazz. It's legitimately, if I'm lying, I'm dying, the most comfortable underwear I've ever owned. They do crazy patterns. You go there. They're trying to sell you during the holidays. Look at all these crazy patterns.
Oh, yeah, I got the Valentine's Day ones.
You just wait a couple weeks after the holiday. You go there. You order the variety pack. They give you all the ones they were trying to get you before. That's how you do it, guys. You listening? This is how you do it. Get the patterns without paying the full price. But you can also go there and get the underwear sent to your door, risk-free, satisfaction guarantee. To get 20% off your first pair and free shipping. And 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go to MeUndies.com/GamesDaily. That's MeUndies.com/GamesDaily. I love them very much. Andrea loves them. John loves them. You got, because you did the couples pair that one time, right? Match your better match your bottom half to your better half. That's great. That's
Tim's
great.
Favorite tagline of all time.
Rest in peace, Tim. Nah, he just went to New Orleans. He's fine. Kevin Brown writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, Greg and Andrew, what are the chances of a single-player Star Wars game announcement at E3? Be it from Amy Hennig or a new single-player focused game. I just saw a post on Reddit that listed all the single-player games that existed in the Star Wars universe before EA took over. Some of those games, like KOTOR, are the reason I got into games, and it makes me sad that given the current gen of technology that we don't have a big-budget game due before the end of the PlayStation 4 life cycle, especially after beating God of War and experiencing the awesome gameplay. Imagine throwing a lightsaber and calling it back being as satisfying as throwing the Leviathan axe. Thanks and keep up the good work, Kevin Brown. I do not think you have a shot in hell of that happening. I think with them canning the visceral game in the past year since the last E3, you figure they were planning on that being the single player game. It's gone. That means even if they cancel that, they jump-started a new project with somebody else, I don't think we're anywhere near having an announcement trailer ready.
No, and doing a teaser this early, I think, would just stoke enthusiasm for something that's really far away. And we saw that they are focusing on what looks like, you know, what's coming next for Battlefront 2. Mm. And with that focus on Star Wars stuff there, you know, like, why would they kind of divert? And like, I remember when EA did that conference where it was like all conceptual gameplay, and it was super frustrating because we were like, what's real, what's not real? Because when it's still in the conceptual phase, you don't know if that's even going to make it into the final game. And so I'm kind of hoping that we don't see anything, because it feels like it would be like, it would hype everybody up, and then it would be an ultimate letdown, because that wouldn't be representative of what it's actually going to become.
Yeah, and I think EA can't, they don't want to do that, right? They don't want to have another thing to remind you, first off, that, hey, remember when we did this and nothing happened? Remember when we canceled this game? Here's another conception. I think they're going to come out and, if anything, really double down on Anthem and be like, hey, Anthem, it's awesome, and it's going to be this great show.
I want them to double down on Anthem.
I'm sure you do. I want to know anything other than the trailer about Anthem and get into it. Now, of course, my heart and body belong to The Division 2. Let's just get that out there right there. So, Anthem, you have an uphill climb. I am betrothed to The Division 2.
I'll wear you down.
Oh, I'm going to play it with you. Don't worry about that. Okay, we'll get in there. And it looks like I'm in an Iron Man suit. I can shoot underwater. Yeah, I want to play this game. But I'm just saying, Division 2, where is it going to be? I can't wait. Pierre writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, what's good, Greg and Andrea? With all the traveling you guys do as part of your jobs, do you ever take your Switch dock with you? So that after a hard day's work and social meetings, you can relax and play on a bigger TV in your hotel room. Or do you simply stick with the console in its handheld form? I personally would like to bring the dock on my travels, but the awkwardness of the design of the official Nintendo dock and bulkiness of the AC adapter is a deterrent. Would a smaller or redesigned official dock, which collapses neatly, change your opinion on bringing it along? Thanks for all the hard work and everything you do, Kind of Funny. Can't believe it's been nearly a year since I flew from the UK to San Francisco and met all the Kind of Funny best friends for Kind of Funny Live 3. Such lovely people. Sincerely, Pierre. Pierre, your ass better be coming back for Kind of Funny Prom. Yeah. June 30th. kindoffunny.com/tickets. There's a prom stream right after this if you're watching this.
There's nothing quite as satisfying as laying in bed in handheld mode with the Switch.
Yeah.
So I never bring my dock, ever. Mm. It's just one more thing to have to pack and cables to manage. And if you're like me and you actually have to like carry production equipment with you, so microphones, XLR cables, batteries, all that jazz.
Gotta get a Kevin.
I do need a Kevin. Maybe I'll just steal Kevin from you.
No, please don't do that. Please don't do that.
It's just one more thing to bring, and the handheld mode is just so convenient.
Yeah, no, yeah. I honestly, and I know we've talked about this before and things, and I talked about it in yesterday's Gamescast with Garage, that game I've been playing on Switch. It was so weird to come home after playing Garage at the office and want to play more and be like, oh, put it in the dock and play on the TV. I'm like, I never do this. It's so weird to have my Switch in the dock.
It works well for a few games. Like, I remember the first time I actually docked and played Breath of the Wild. Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah.
Oh, dear.
The Divine Beasts on a big screen are awesome.
Yeah.
But like, the vast majority of games I've played on Switch are really great in handheld mode. And that's why people love it. And that's why Japan is offering a dockless version, right? And I hope they offer that here in North America as well. But no, don't need it, don't want it. And also, hidden tip that maybe you guys don't know, you can't always rely on being able to plug into the HDMI in hotels. A lot of hotels lock down the HDMI ports on their TVs because they want you to use their in TV entertainment, and so they don't want you to plug in like your laptop or an external source like
the
a
hoops
PlayStation.
I've had to jump through to hook up a PlayStation 4.
People I know in the industry literally go and buy televisions and bring them to their hotel rooms and then return the television when they're done with their trip because they can't plug into the TV. It's a real thing.
Yeah. So no, I definitely pack pro controllers. When I was all you know, over the moon for Mario Kart, like I brought, you know, extra pro controllers and stuff so we could play in tabletop mode, which obviously isn't the best view of it. And I've played Mario Kart and I've played Zelda and I've played Mario on a TV, but 90% of everything I do with a Switch, I mean, 90% of everything I do with a AAA Switch title is on the handheld mode. Any other game, it's got to be 99%. If they made a smaller redesigned dock that collapsed neatly, yeah, I might put it in my bag and not think of it often. But it's also the weird thing that when we go to an event and I bring the Switch, it's really, hey, this is for me flying. Flying there and flying back is when I play. When I'm there, it's you go to the event, you do your thing, you come home, you go to dinner, maybe you go to an after party, maybe you do another appointment, you come home and pass out. Like E3, I'm not going to bust my ass all day and then come home at midnight and be like, you know what, I want to play 30 minutes or something. Yeah.
The last thing you want to do at E3 is play something else. When you're in your hotel room, all you're thinking about is the pillow.
It's true.
E3 is long.
Cannibal Caveman writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, at this point, do you think Death Stranding will be a series or by itself close-ended title? Thanks. I don't think you make a game anymore and don't think of it as the series or a potential for a series. And especially with Kojima's storytelling style, I definitely think they're thinking of it as an ongoing thing. Whether it'll be Death Stranding 2 comes out 4 years later or if it'll be a decade later because he does something else in between, wanting to stretch his legs because he has independence, I think you're going to get an open-ended ending to that game that could go on to something else, but that's just me. Andrew?
Agree.
Perfect. All right, good.
Sorry, I don't have much more to add there.
No, you're a monster. It's fine. Sam wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, good morning. Just a small PSA that I hadn't heard this week. Gary Whitta's The Last Jedi number 2 came out on Wednesday, May 23rd. Heart. Thank you, Sam. Of course, Gary Whitta, writer of movies you love, also has been working on the adaptation for the comic book version of Last Jedi. Issue 2 is out now. Also wanted to call out, saw this going on the subreddit, concerns. Gary's fine. Everything's fine. He's just incredibly busy. Last week, he got pulled away, so he couldn't do any of the shows while I was gone. And then this week, he's been tweeting, I think, about being in LA. But that's how it is to be a screenwriter, of shooting all over the place, doing stuff. However, he did tweet about, yeah, he was going through rough stuff. It wasn't anything to do with us. I know people were worried about that. It's not a Kind of Funny thing. Kind of Funny still is home. Kind of Funny still is family. All you best friends should tweet at Gary Whitta. Send him that sweet, nasty love. And final question of the day, of the week, comes from Andy Prince, who wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, do you think we will see Fallout 4 PSVR or any Fallout game released for Switch this year? I'm hoping Bethesda kills at E3. Love you both. Keep killing it. I think it's... I would be surprised if we don't get Fallout 4 PlayStation VR at the conference this year for Bethesda. I feel like they played nice putting Doom VR out on PlayStation VR and then later on everything else and then going Fallout 4 VR on PC. I feel like it's time to switch that the other way and be like, hey, guess what? Because you've already done the work. You already understand how it works on PlayStation, especially with Skyrim. Why not toss that on there as well and give yourself another announcement at your conference?
Yeah, and it was leaked last year that it was coming to VR.
If it doesn't come from Walmart Canada, I don't believe it.
So, I mean, I don't know why it wouldn't. They, you know, Bethesda has a great working relationship with PlayStation. Would make sense that they would bring it to PSVR.
What do you think about a Fallout on Switch?
I don't think it would. Well,
yeah,
I mean,
you can't say it. Yeah, right? Like,
knowing that they brought Skyrim, but Skyrim was, you know, quite a few years older than Fallout. Not to say that they can't use that, but Bethesda Game Studios is working on other stuff. I don't know if they would want to divert resources to make a Switch port when they could outsource the port to another studio.
Bluepoint said they're working on their next thing being something big, right? What if it was a Fallout 3/Fallout New Vegas anniversary pack? Somebody, on one of the forums I was looking at was bringing up that Fallout 3's one of their numbered anniversaries is coming around.
But my biggest criticism of Skyrim on Switch was that there's just too much happening in that small screen to keep track of all of the text and all of the menus. Particularly in combat, you would have to, like, for me to enjoy Skyrim on my Switch, I'd have to play in docked mode, and if I'm going to be doing that, I might as well just boot up my PS4, play it there.
So, I still think Bethesda sees the success they found on Switch with these titles, which granted they haven't come out and said how well Doom's done or how well Skyrim's done, but the success in it and then definitely the fan reaction to it and then also the press coverage for older games.
Yeah.
I could see them totally doing it.
Listen, if they want to do it, awesome. I think, you know, Bethesda makes fun games, but I would like to see them do new stuff. New announcements.
I agree. And I totally hope this year they come out and they're like, we had a lot of success on Switch, but here's the stuff that's either day and date with Switch or here's an exclusive game we're working on with Switch. That could be cool.
Yeah.
What I want to do this, I want to get your opinion on this. What about Fallout Shelter for Switch?
That would be perfect.
Yeah.
It's a great platform.
Yeah, yeah.
But that would also
microtransactions
mean, that would also mean that you have to kind of carry your Switch with you all the time because that's like a time management game. You have to always be checking in.
Yeah.
That's what's great about Nintendo it on your phone. Like that, you have your phone in your pocket all the time.
Sure.
You can't fit your Switch in your pocket.
You can. Your back pocket. It's fine.
I mean,
it's
if you're wearing those like giant cargo pants.
I had it in my back pocket today because I got all excited before I left the house. I was like, oh, I'm going to take the train. Great. Download the Mario Tennis Aces demo. Great. Had it in my back pocket. Got on the train. Opened it up. This is the online multiplayer. God damn it. This is why I can't play this offline. Fuck.
I got an email from one Genevieve Saint-Ange-Miller.
Oh, yeah.
About a new Switch code for a game that's finally coming out. Very excited about it.
Is it embargoed? I'm not sure.
I don't know if it's embargoed. Mm-hmm. Let me look.
No, they've announced it for sure, I think. Probably.
It's, let's see.
I'll tell you what, it rains Switch codes on me. I have so many games on that Switch that I'm like, all right, this looks cool. I need to play this Foxes and something. Now I'll give them a shout out because I got that code. Hold on, everybody. We're just looking
through
our email.
We're just typing some stuff up here.
You know
what?
It's National Wine Day. We're having some fun with you.
Oh, yeah. No, it's released. It's announced that... It launches next week. Just Shapes and Beats.
Yeah, I want to get a code for that, too.
I'm so excited for that. I've been pumped for that game since I saw it at PAX like 4 years ago.
And then I got a code for retro platformer Fox in Forests.
There you go.
That looks
cool. Switch all the time.
All Switch all the time. That's what I'm all about.
My go-to playing machine.
I got that Bloodstained to play, too. Of course, it's always, you want what you can't have.
It's
Mario
true.
Tennis Aces, I'm like, just give it to me. Let's go. West of Loathing, just give it to me. Let's go. I made the mistake at Judges Week of playing that Divinity 2 game. I'm like, holy shit, do I want to play this?
Yeah.
And everybody's like, you can play an Xbox One preview. I'm like, fuck that. Where's the trophs? I need the trophs.
Well, I mean, that's your brand. Before you head into the next section.
Sure.
I was just previewing.
Uh-oh.
You're wrong.
Oh, dear.
And there's one here that I think is worth mentioning ahead of that. It's from Mike. He says, why hasn't the Battlefield 5 announcement been talked about at all this week? You're wrong to not have talked about it at all this week. I know you guys briefly mentioned it yesterday.
Yeah, this
is... Like, in passing, but you guys didn't say any of the news that came out.
Well, the news is the release date.
No, the news is, like, literally everything that they talked about in that giant live stream. Did you watch any of it?
No, I watched...
Did you read any
recaps
of it?
The trailer came out afterwards, and I the trailer was a minute 26, and I got to a minute, and I'm like, I'm bored, bye.
Wow. Really, Greg?
What cutting commentary, what cutting insight could Jared and Greg provide for Battlefield 5? That's my thing. And to your point of like the news that came out of it, Kind of Funny Games Daily, and I were discussing the product as we do it, which I love. I love this stuff. Kind of Funny Games Daily is the news usually, right? Like, this has happened, that's happening, here's
the
release date.
We've discussed game info before. We've discussed, like, Destiny patch notes. We've discussed Paragon patch notes. We've discussed Division patch notes. We've discussed stuff like that on the show in the past.
And you're 100% correct. And I feel like that's because we have a leg to stand on in those conversations.
Okay.
As somebody who just isn't the Call of Duty and isn't the Battlefield guy, like, I looked at the Battlefield trailer and I was like, cool. The most salient point is that here is the release date. Lay it on me. Talk about it. What was cool about Battlefield 5?
Well, I mean, besides the fact that I love that they're putting a woman on the cover and I love that the internet's mad about it.
See, that was the thing too, where I was just like, I'm not going to give that argument oxygen.
No, of course. And we shouldn't. There was a couple nuggets.
Lay it on me, because it wasn't... Sure. I didn't mean for it to be a slight against Battlefield. It was just like, if you're the Battlefield fan, I feel like you're in depth on it. Because even Call of Duty, right? Like, well, I guess I wasn't on the show when we did Call of Duty. When that last big announcement happened, right? Because I wasn't here.
We were in LA. Yeah. We were actually playing.
So
Call
I'm not
Diddy,
100% sure how they handled
which
it. Even
looks fantastic, by the way.
But for that, it would have been like, here's Call of Duty's release date, and it's got a battle royale. Nobody played it. All right, next story. Like,
did you not have fun in your play session? You got to play with Gertzman, didn't you?
Oh, no. Yeah, and Jeff and I were ready to kill somebody on our team, but that's a different story.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, so the big news here, of course, is that they came out and very clearly were like, there will be no loot boxes in the game. That, let me read here. They are doing, that was like obviously like the most controversial thing coming off of Battlefront's launch. They said, when asked for comment, and this comment was given to Polygon, an EA spokesperson said that there will not be loot boxes. That's consistent with the themes shared during the reveal event and the pre-briefing delivered to press earlier in the week. It will completely divorce gameplay from gameplay progression from cosmetic unlocks. Gameplay unlocks will only be available to be earned through play, while cosmetic items will have no gameplay effects. The spokesperson also told Polygon that cosmetic items will be available for purchase through in-game currency, which is earned through play, as well as real money transactions. At least some of that sweet cosmetic gear will be sold online, although whether all of it will be available through in-game currency remains to be seen. Now, I would imagine they're probably going to adopt a Rainbow Six-like model where you can buy some items with either in-game earned currency or real-world money, and then there will be some items that are exclusively real-world money, because they, you know, if they're going to do what they did and announce that they're giving out the premium pass for free for everybody, which was another big piece of news, there will be no premium pass this time around. Every map, every mode, and every expansion will be completely free. In order to support that, they have to sell cosmetic items. So thus, there will probably be some cosmetic items that are only available for purchase. But that's just me hypothesizing. That has not been confirmed. And then one of the other big things was how they're planning to do matchmaking. So they also announced a couple new modes, but the big thing was that you're going to be part of a squad, and that you will always be, there's no longer an option to join a match as a single player and go it alone. To that end, DICE is leaning into the squad mechanic in several important ways. They're extending the squad model to the social aspects of Battlefield 5. Once in a squad, you'll stick with that squad regardless of what game mode you're in, and that means voice and text chat will be available between you and your squad at all times, even from inside the loading screens, which is different and interesting. And I don't know if some lone wolves out there might be like angry about that, about having to be part of a squad, sure, not being able to go in alone. But there must be some clear design reason why they're doing this. I'm sure we'll get more information from their extensive reveal at E3, which is
very close,
which is coming. Yeah, there's gonna be a lot of people playing Battlefield at E3.
And see, this is my thing, is don't get me wrong, that's all facts and stuff, right?
Yeah.
But like, is that what we do on the show? And this is an open-ended conversation, kindoffunny.com/KFGD, of what you want and expect out of the show. Because my point, right, the opposite direction would be when Red Dead 2 got announced, or not even announced, but when the latest trailer dropped, right? Mm-hmm. The news out of the trailer was like, you're this character, it's this year, what do we think of how it looks, right? Whereas that, like, squatting up and all that jazz and stuff, like, I don't have the answers. I feel like we don't say that.
Yes, this is news, because yep, this is new things for the franchise. Sure. They released a long new asset. They gave the release date. All of that was news.
Yeah, it's just the weird thing of where we. I'm not saying you're wrong. It's what's the teetering between news and preview.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'm just too set in my old IGN ways, right? Of like, I didn't read any of IGN's previews, and I didn't
bring
in.
Preview, though, would be if you and I had personal hands-on time with it, sure, and we got to actually like see this presentation. So we weren't invited to this presentation that Polygon was invited to.
Thanks, EA.
But, you know, if we had been, then that would have been like a standalone preview. Hey, I got to see this like behind closed doors demo. Mm-mm-mm. They gave me this presentation. I got to try the game. Here is my preview of it. This is purely like taking the information that they relayed during the live stream, revealing the gameplay, and saying these are the new salient points that you need to know about if you're a Battlefield fan, if you're interested at all in the new game. This is what's new and this is what's different. And that's just like a few...
Tip of the iceberg. They had a whole presentation.
They detailed the new modes. They detailed where you're going. They detailed how they're going to unroll the narrative parts of the story throughout the release of expansion content and DLC, which I thought was a really interesting way to go about it, because they said as World War II unfolded, we're also going to unfold our narrative of how that progresses throughout, beyond launch, essentially is what they're saying. So they're clearly transitioning this into a live service game.
Okay. Interesting.
I thought that was worth discussing.
I'm glad you did. And I think that's and that's the thing. If you would have been on that show, I think it would have been worth bringing up too. But me and Jared would have been like, all right. And Jared would have been like, let me tell you about this Japanese arcade cabinet I saw in the garbage.
Stardew Valley in the corner.
And I would just yell my trophies. It's time to squat up. And this is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you. Everybody plays games together and has a good time. Ryan Kelly needs help on the PlayStation Vita. My man. His PSN name is ThatKid755. ThatKid755 says, hey, Greg. Long time, first time. I recently got into Resistance Burning Skies for the there PlayStation Vita, and I'm genuinely impressed. But who would I be if I wasn't trying to grind out the platinum? I stopped reading there and tried to slow it down. Am I being trolled? You were genuinely impressed by Resistance Burning Skies. All right. The only thing standing in my way now is one measly multiplayer trophy. I need a couple of best friends to fill a multiplayer lobby for long enough to complete one match in multiplayer mode. That's all. Thanks for everything you do. Keep fucking that goddamn chicken. That kid, 755. So if you have Burning Skies, I'm not going to say you're genuinely impressed by it, but if you have it, hit up That Kid, 755 on the PSN. Set up a playtime. Get out there and help him get that platinum. Andrew.
Yes.
We asked people watching the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. What do we screw up today?
Today we have, let's see here. Charles, I appreciate you putting in the Telltale news, but I got it in the
we
show
got
notes. And then there was Mike's comment about Battlefield. Somebody else mentioned the Wolf Among Us news. We got that. Don't worry. Jeff ZOMG says, Greg, you're not a year wrong, but PowerPix already has a complete walkthrough for the Detroit Platinum.
Thank you.
If you want that. PowerPix with a Y.
But the problem is, what I don't like about PowerPix, they do great video guides as well. Their videos, though, are like, I need a sentence explaining, I need a few sentences of like, do this, do that, and then here's what you need to get on this one playthrough, what you need to do.
Capitalist Pig says, the rumor about Telltale is that they are switching to Unity. This makes sense as the CEO for Unity is affiliated with Telltale. Yes, that CEO is on Telltale's board of directors.
Oh, dear.
So, something to keep an eye on. Unity wouldn't be bad. let's see here. This is now more Telltale Unity things. What are you drawing?
I did Superman Doodle on this one. See, I've been secretly saving all of my printouts that I write on and doodle on, and then they're going to be a fan mail tier.
Oh, nice.
And let me tell you, if you're randomly the person who, when you support us on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, gets the March 25th, 2018 one, you'll see this is where I put a piece of pizza. And I wrote pizza on it, so you understand that there it is. Tweet at me pizza when you get this one in many months.
And the last one, Fake AZN says, you're wrong, but I wanted to get the word out. On Amazon, you can find dongles that are basically Switch docks. You can plug in an HDMI and power cable into the dongle, and you plug the other end into your Switch USB-C slot. It's better than carrying around a dock. I took mine with me when I went to PAX East and had it set up in my hotel room. The one I bought was sold by Amazon seller Fast Snail.
Fast Snail.
And I haven't had any problems with
it. Well, remember, this is the whole thing that there was a Kickstarter of this that came out, a smaller dock that then took forever to get. And then when it finally came out, Nyko's got one too. Like, there's a bunch of other places you can go. Not that I'm saying anything against Fast Snail. He sounds like a very reputable source. But yeah, you can get this little smaller dock if you want, but heads up. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. If you didn't know, each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. You need to be part of the show. Write in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Then watch the show on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Or listen on podcast services around the globe. Andrew is back with me Monday. That's right. We don't take any holidays here
because we're
too stupid
Day.
To take them off. But also remember, if you're watching live right now on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, we're going to do the Kind of Funny prom stream here in a bit. Joester! Are we turning it off? Or are we just going to roll into it? Or what are you doing? Doesn't start till 2. We're doing this prom stream at 2. I don't know. I don't pay attention to the calendar. I just want to make sure. You don't get mad at me, Joester.
She very smartly built you in a lunch break. But you scarfed
lady.
Pizza between the
morning
show.
Well, I had one piece of pizza. Don't
so
worry.
So you need more. Okay.
I still got my real food in there to eat. Don't worry. Oh, shoot. No, I put it in the fridge. I'm okay. I'm really good at packing the lunch Jen makes, and sometimes I forget to take it out of my bag.
She's going to be coming here. You could just text her.
Well, no, I have it here already. If it's in my backpack on the floor, like it's, you know, it does. She can't help me. Where is she? Why is she not here yet?
She said that she had to go to the gym.
Whatever.
You know, and shower, and then she'll be here.
Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you.